Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Courtney Mares, part one. She'll give a reflection and much more.
Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Courtney Mares, who is a Rome correspondent with Catholic News Agency and EWTN News. And she's written a book on the blessed life of Carlo Acutis called Blessed Carlo Acutis, A Saint in Sneakers. And she's going to talk to us about his life, his love for the Eucharist, and how we can be holy in our digital age.
He really is a saint for this age, for this time, dying in 2006. We're now going to a reflection with Courtney Mares.
Carlo Acutis shows us that there's more to life than endless scrolling on a cell phone. Pope Francis has put forward Carlo as an example especially for young people, of what holiness can look like in the 21st century. By rooting his life in the sacraments and in prayer and in his relationship with the Lord, Carlo was able to receive the graces he needed to approach technology in a healthy way. And that's one of the great lessons that Carlo teaches us today, because these tools are also available to all of us, that we can attend Mass, we can pray in front of the tabernacle, we can go to confession, pray the Holy Rosary. And these are things that give us those graces, just like Carlo, to live a life of holiness amid our complex digital reality of laptops, social media, and the internet. And that's one of the ways that Carlo really shows us how to live a life of holiness today. I think with social media in particular, poses a lot of challenges. And it's something people don't realize about Carlo is he didn't use the internet to post selfies or to draw attention to himself or to seek likes, but he was really trying to bring people closer to God and to research and learn more about the faith. In fact, one of Carlo's favorite phrases was, "Non io ma Dio," which means not me, but God. But it's really catchy in Italian, non io ma Dio. And that's really the great secret to Carlo's life, is that he shows us that true happiness is found when we put Christ first.
Well, Courtney, welcome to Life on the Rock.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
And you are a EWTN correspondent, and you work in our Rome Bureau.
That's right.
But you're also an author who has written a great book on the life of Blessed Carlo Acutis. And so we'll be diving a little bit more into this book. And Blessed Carlo, he's an interesting figure. As we were talking, he's somebody that was, you know, a contemporary of ours. Mm-hmm. Grew up in the 90s and everything, and just somebody very relatable. But before we launch in more a little bit about Carlo, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Of course. I grew up in the Pacific Northwest. I was raised in Portland, Oregon. And I really came to my faith as a high school mm-hmm. student. It was actually through an encounter with the Blessed Sacrament in Eucharistic mm-hmm. adoration that just really touched my heart and set me on fire and brought me back to practicing the faith again. And so it's just beautiful to be full circle and now to be sharing the story of one of our great saints who, mm-hmm. or soon to be saints,
in the making.
Who was so devoted to just that, it was Carlo's dream for more people to know about the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. So it's so beautiful how God works that way, bringing us full circle. Yeah.
But yeah, I studied at Harvard University, where I studied political science and economics. And then after graduation, gradually found my way to Catholic journalism at EWTN, which is this great intersection of current affairs and our faith, you know, being able to share the news from a Catholic perspective. And I've been over in our Vatican Bureau covering the Pope, the Vatican, the global Catholic Church for 6 years now. And it has been an adventure.
Work.
Yes, it is. It keeps us busy. Yeah.
Well, how did you first learn about Carlo Acutis?
As a Vatican journalist, I'm always following the causes of new sainthood causes, mm-hmm. people who lived a life of heroic virtue, who there's some momentum seeing. And they're moving their way up with recognition of their heroic virtue. And that was the case with Carlo. It was about, it was probably 6 years ago now. And I remember coming across this sainthood cause of a young boy who was born in the 1990s, died in 2006, who loved computer coding mm-hmm. and video games and was devoted to the Eucharist. And I was like, wow, I have never come across a sainthood cause like this.
Yeah.
And through my job, I was able to report more and more on his story. Yeah. Which was really a joy getting.
In one sense, it's shocking because as a Catholic, when you hear about a saint, you think of someone that lived like 100 years ago or more.
Exactly.
Not somebody that just kind of died yesterday.
And yeah.
That really did reach a life of sanctity.
Right. Yeah, that's one of the things that I think, that's one of the ways that I think Carlo really challenges us.
Oh, yeah.
Because I always like I love many of the stories of the saints, but I love those really dramatic ones of, you know, heroic martyrdoms and things like that. And I think for many of us, it's easy to say, oh, if I lived in early Rome, of course I would, you know, give up my life for the faith and be a martyr. But I think because Carlo lived in our time, he takes away some of our rationalizations that we may have. He shows us, you know, if you really believe that Jesus is present in the Blessed Sacrament, why don't you make that effort to go to Mass, you know, every day, or to be, to visit the tabernacle as often as you can? Mm-hmm. You know, why don't you make those little heroic daily sacrifices?
And which is something he really did. Really took that to heart at a young age. And I first heard about Carlo. I'd never heard about him before entering a religious life. But our Bishop Emeritus, Bishop Baker, Robert Baker, would often preach on Carlo. And I thought that was very impactful. Of just that witness and his really devotion to Carlo Acutis, because it seemed like in every homily, his name was brought up. And I think that that's a good reason, because he is a modern day, I think soon to be saint, that we should really turn our eyes to in today's world, especially with the Eucharistic revival going on, I think here in this country. So I think he's a pivotal player in that aspect. But what drew you or inspired you to write a book on Carlo Acutis?
Yeah, it came about after covering his beatification mass in Assisi. I was one of the few people who were able, who was lucky enough to be there in person, because his beatification took place in 2020 when the whole world was locked down. But I was there covering it for EWTN. And it was just so inspiring to see. That was the moment where I saw that Carlo had really captured the world's imagination, because there was so much enthusiasm mm-hmm. for his story online, actually. So many people tuned in to his beatification mass on YouTube and are talking about it on social media. And when I was there, I saw all these books that were written in Italian. Oh. But at the time, there were no books written, you know, in English. And so I just felt really inspired to share his story, given that also I was based in Italy and I was able to travel to his hometown in Milan and mm-hmm. meet people who he'd touched their lives and do interviews. And that was really a privilege.
Yeah, that was one of the interesting things about reading about Blessed Carlo, because he's from Milan.
Yes.
And in the churches there, they celebrate the Ambrosian Rite, which is a little bit different, just maybe from the normal Latin Rite or the Novus Ordo Rite that we know here in the United States. But that's a tradition that really goes back to St. Ambrose in Milan, who converted St. Augustine and everything. So, and then, of course, St. Charles Borromeo was there, and he was a big factor during the Protestant Reformation of really kind of rebuilding the church and catechesis. And so there's a great tradition there that I think Carlo Acutis was plugged into, and it's a very rich history.
Definitely, well. Yeah, he was definitely a part of that rich history in Milan. Actually, his parish where Carlo attended daily mass is just a few blocks away. It's just a short walk from the fresco of the Last Supper. Mm. And I just thought that was so beautiful when I went there and realized that, given that the Eucharist was really, you know, the source and summit, the center of Carlo's life. And
yeah, it truly was. And just to read about how often he would frequent the churches and the Blessed Sacrament there at such a young age. You know, he like started doing this when he was like 3, which is a special grace, I think, given that God uses and calls people. But we have to go to a break, but whenever we come back, let's get more into the book.
Okay, great.
Well, Courtney, the title of your book is called Blessed Carlo Acutis, A Saint in Sneakers, which is kind of a catching title. But what does that refer to exactly, a saint in sneakers?
Yeah, where the title comes from is when you visit Carlo's tomb in Assisi and when you walk into the church, what you see before you is young Carlo, who's buried in a track jacket, mm-hmm. jeans, and Nike sneakers. and while I was working on the book, I spent a lot of time just sitting in his tomb, praying, but also yeah. observing and seeing when people came in. And I just realized this is one of the first times in history that we're seeing a saint in Nike sneakers. I mean, Carlo will be the first millennial saint
yeah.
when he's canonized next year, and also the first computer coding saint in the nearly 2,000 year history of the Catholic Church. So it's kind of embracing this this idea that he is a saint of our times.
Right. I think that first impression would be very impactful to see somebody that lived during our, you know, just the struggles or the maybe prosperity that we've experienced here in the United States, but maybe even in Italy. But just there's that connection that, you know, he's one of us.
Definitely, yeah.
And he's already lived his life, but he lived it for God.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever I think about him, you know, death is on this side of life a tragic thing, but when you see how he lived his life and how that was so totally and completely devoted to God, really inside there's really a happiness that settles in, because it's like, you know, here's a person that's very close to God.
Yes. Yeah, Carlo did not live that long. He died at the age of 15 mm-hmm. in 2006, and he was ready to go at yeah. the age of 15, because he'd lived his life totally for the Lord and knew that death was not something to be dreaded, right. but a moment of just total surrender to the Lord. And that's one of the ways that he is so inspiring right. to us.
As you were writing the book, was there anything that really impacted you or surprised you as you were learning more about Carlo Acutis?
Yeah, there was one interview I did that was just so interesting. I met with a man who converted from Hinduism mm-hmm. to Catholicism after meeting Carlo. Mm. His name was Rajesh Mohair, and he was originally from the island of Mauritius and grew up in a very Hindu family of the Brahmin priestly class. And he had very little exposure to Christianity until he was hired by the Acutis family to be an au pair. And his job was taking care of Carlo. And part of that was taking him to and from school. Mm-hmm. And Carlo always wanted to pray in front of the tabernacle or go to mass on his way to and from school. Right. So he just found himself, you know, inside a Catholic church, watching this little boy pray so reverently in front of the tabernacle, and was just so fascinated by it. But then, of course, Carlo being Carlo, he was very outgoing and loved to speak about the things that he loved. Carlo loved to speak about heaven, about the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, about the Mass. And so he would just have all these conversations with Rajesh about the faith. And he even taught Rajesh how to pray the rosary. And 4 years after meeting Carlo, Rajesh was baptized in the Catholic Church. Mm. And it was a great moment of celebration for the entire Kudus family, but for Carlo especially. And so that was just one of the things that was so remarkable, that you meet these people, you know, adults who converted and were baptized after meeting this young boy.
And that was the other thing about Carlo that really kind of surprised me, was that, you know, his family wasn't just a practicing Catholic family, but he had a faith, you know, that was very, I think, attractive to many people. Yeah. In one sense, you know, his own family reclaimed the faith through his example.
That's right. Many people don't realize, when you hear about a 15-year-old who's going to be declared a saint, you might assume, oh, they come from a really Catholic, devout family. Mm-hmm. But that just wasn't the case with Carlo. His mother said that she attended Mass for weddings and funerals, yeah. But it wasn't, you know, like they didn't even go to church every Sunday. And so Carlo was actually introduced to the faith by a nanny from Poland whom they hired when he was very, very young. And she's likely the first person who brought him to Catholic Mass, told him the basics of the faith, taught him how to pray the rosary, something he grew to have a huge devotion to. And Carlo took to it. He just showed this great love and devotion from God from a young age. Mm-hmm. And would ask, you know, his parents, oh, if they passed the church, oh, can we stop inside and greet Jesus?
Right.
And then as Carlo grew older, he was a very curious child, and he had a lot of questions. So he was always coming to his mother with lots of questions about the Catholic faith and about God and about heaven. And his mother, not being a practicing Catholic at the time, felt a bit illiterate on how to answer these questions. Yeah. And so his mother actually sought out the help of a Catholic priest and said, listen, you know, my son has all these questions. I don't know how to answer them. But then slowly in those conversations, her son's questions became her questions. Mm-hmm. And as she learned more of the why behind the Catholic faith, his mother and his father and others, many others in his family, returned to the sacraments and returned to practicing the faith. And his mother went on to become a great, you know, evangelizer and catechist in her own right.
Mm-hmm.
And she, to this day, calls Carlo my little savior. Mm-hmm. So it's just beautiful to see Carlo's contagious love of God
right.
that just affected so many people in his short life.
Yeah, I think that just that teaching of religion at a young age, of just those fundamental truths, to love God, you know, God loves us. You know, for a child to cling on to that is, that's a very powerful witness, because there's such an innocence there. And what really kind of strikes me about Carlo is that he wasn't afraid to embrace holiness.
Yes.
You know, his life was really about just wrapping himself around, you know, God in the most just full way possible. And I just feel like even like whenever I was growing up, I was just dead inside.
Yeah.
But, you know, God's grace works inside of us. But I'm always just so amazed by just seeing those young lives really have that sense, that religious awareness. But Courtney, we've run out of time, but thank you for being on Life on the Rock.
Thank you so much.
Well, Father Mark, one of the things I really loved about reading the book and the interview with Courtney is that she really brings to life Carlo Kudus's authentic witness to the faith. which is so wrapped around the Holy Eucharist, which is the source and summit of our faith. But he really kind of teaches us that holiness is really within our grasp when we're young.
Yes, he's going to be canonized, I expect, in 2025, but be the first saint to wear Nike sneakers, right, probably, on a regular basis. But and the fact that he didn't come from a devout home. Mm-hmm. That was new to me. I didn't realize that. But his love for the Eucharist. I like the point you all spoke about making time, that mm-hmm. he would exhort people, right, to do that, to make time for a visit to the Blessed Sacrament.
He made a lot of time.
I think we all need to question ourselves, maybe the quality of time or, the quality, quantity, of adoration mm-hmm. and how important that is and how it's transforming to come mm-hmm. to the presence of the Lord.
And it's so interesting just how he was converting adults as a child. And I think there's, again, that innocence and purity that he understood truth that a lot of times that are difficult to understand, but he grasped them with such an ease. And I believe there was, a grace there, a special grace for him to have that ability. But I think, again, it goes to show the witness, our example that we can give that others can see and imitate, because he's drawn so many people to love our Lord in the Holy Eucharist.
Right, to do that whole electronic display, of the real presence of the different miraculous occasions of the real presence that we have, that being convicted of the power impact this will have on people, that, as you say, the source and summit, we receive him in the Eucharist, we naturally, supernaturally want to be purified, receive him with a pure heart, so we go back to confession. We want to prolong that presence, we want to prepare for that next reception, so we pray more in mm-hmm. our life. So it really, it just affects everything. Our relationship to the Eucharist is like a scale of a reading of how our faith is a Eucharistic faith. Mm-hmm. How are we doing with that?
Yeah. And I think he's a great intercessory saint for us in our time, especially if maybe our love for Jesus or our love for Jesus in the Holy Eucharist has kind of wandered. I would say he's someone to turn to really kind of reinvigorate that fire, that flame of love for us.
Yeah, it seems so positive, like from mm-hmm. Courtney's stories, just very engaging, positive, evangelizing with love and care and friendship with others.
Absolutely.
This is a reminder, it's our first show of two shows that we're going to do with Courtney. And now we'll send you into the vineyard with a blessing. May our Heavenly Father shine His face upon you. May He give you His peace. May He fill you with a Eucharistic faith. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock. My eyes have seen.
glory of our God. I have seen, my eyes have seen, the glory of our God. And I have seen, my eyes have seen,